Anas radiyallahu ta'ala says, Ma shamamtu miskan wala ambaran wala shay'an ahsana tibin min rihi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I never smelled any musk or any ambar or any fragrance that was more beautiful than the fragrance that emanated from the body of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Nabigha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something was wrong with his teeth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. Ya Allah, protect his teeth. He says for the rest of his life, he was 80 and not one tooth had been lost. Another sahabi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jabir Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Hunain, in the initial stages, when some of the companions ran away, there were only 14 with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A tide of the enemy had attacked Khalid bin Walid from head to toe. He was wounded, the blood was pouring. He came in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his hand over him. Khalid bin Walid says, my skin returned back to normal and every sense of pain was gone. Abdullah bin Atiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with a broken leg, tied up, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, open up the bandage. He opens up the bandage, passes his Mubarak hand over the leg, and the leg returns back to normal. Qatada bin Nu'man radiallahu anhu, in Uhud, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, using his own body as a shield. The arrow pierces his eye till his eyeball is taken out. He brings it hanging in his hand to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who understand anatomy, is not a question of just putting the eye back. What about the myriad blood vessels behind that enable a person to see? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes it, puts it back in its place. His son used to say, أَنَا بْنُ الَّذِي سَالَتْ عَلَى الْخَدِّ عَيْنُهُ فَرُدَّتْ بِكَفِّ الْمُصْطَفَى أَحْسَنَ الرَّدِّ فَعَادَتْ كَمَا كَانَتْ لِأَوَّلِ مَرَّةٍ فَيَا حُسْنَ مَا عَيْنِي وَيَا حُسْنَ مَا كَفِّي. He says, I am the son of the one whose eyeball flowed down his cheek. It was returned back in a beautiful fashion by the hand of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It became better than it was before. It became better than it was before. What a beautiful hand and what a beautiful eye and what a beautiful hand that placed that eye. Such effect Allah Ta'ala had kept in the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, traveling with his sahaba, they reach a place, absolutely no water. All of a sudden, when they complain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of a sudden a sheep comes. He milks it. More than 300 sahaba drink to their stomach full from the milk from one sheep. He says to one of his companions, tie it up, but you will not be able to do so. He ties it up a little while later. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, where is that sheep? He goes there, he finds that it is gone. Allah's Rasul, they come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is it? What has happened? Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the one who sent it is the one that called it back also. Such shafqat, such kindness, such love, such tolerance, that in Uhud, the blood is pouring down his body. His Mubarak tut has become shaheed. The portions of the helmet have penetrated his temple. He falls down unconscious into a hole. Such affliction meted out against him, that one of the companions says to him, Bukhari Sharif riwayat, O my beloved Nabi, make dua of lanat upon these people. Make dua, Allah destroys them. Ama inni lam ub'ath la'anan. He says, Allah has not sent me as a curse. Has not sent me as one who will curse. Allah has sent me as a rahmat, as a mercy. Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. O Allah, give hidayat to my people. O Allah, give them hidayat because they do not know. Ulama explain, one is to suffer. His beloved uncle had been made shaheed. One is to suffer such wounds and such pain and keep silent. His shafqat was greater than that. He didn't just keep silent and not make bad dua, but his shafqat was such that they meted punishment against him, but his reaction was still to make dua for them also. That Ya Allah give them hidayat, Ya Allah guide them. One sahabi says, as he was returning from Taif, he says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself relates, he says, there was a Nabi from amongst the Anbiya. Ulama say he was referring to himself, that this Nabi was rubbing the blood pouring from his body, rubbing the blood to prevent it from falling onto the ground, repeatedly saying, O Allah, give hidayat to my people, O Allah, give hidayat to my people, for they do not know. Ulama say, when the drop of the blood of a Nabi strikes the ground, then the azab of Allah upon those people is imminent. So to prevent even that happening, he was rubbing the blood of his body back onto the body, making dua for the hidayat of his people. Making dua for the hidayat of the ummah. Such shafqat, such kindness, such compassion. And yet today, this ummah has become such as if it has no imam. The name Ghulam Nabi, the name Ghulam Muhammad, name followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the actions and lifestyle of the enemies of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We couldn't find anyone else to show a disloyalty to. No waqat, no value, no reverence for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even animals don't change their clothing. Every animal Allah has given it a makhsus, specific outward garment. Whether it's a sheep, whether it's a wolf, whether it's a peacock, whether it's a nightingale, whether it's a dove, whatever it is, you will not find one animal wearing the outward garment of another animal. Amongst insan also, for worldly positions, if he is in the army, he has a certain appearance. If he is a policeman, he has a certain appearance, a certain uniform. There is a certain way in which he conducts himself that is identified with his position. A policeman who will wear the uniform of an army personnel will be locked up. Take it further. If someone belonging to the American army, has to wear the uniform of a Russian army officer, he may be a general, he may have served for 30 years, immediately he will be court-martialed, a case of treason will be opened up against him. Bhai, I am with you. I served you for 30 years. I didn't do one wrong thing. I am a patriot. I love my country. How can you do this to me? Or how they say, my heart is clean. What does it matter what my outside appearance is? My heart is clean. Dil saaf hai. So what does it matter if outwardly I look like the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or outwardly our youth resemble those upon whom the curses of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam descended. Hearts are clean. It will be said to him, Bhai, never mind how clean your heart is, your outward appearance has cast doubts upon your loyalties. You will have to be taken to task. Insan cannot tolerate that the uniform or the appearance of the enemy should be adopted. How is Allah ever going to tolerate? We have turned our backs on what is insaniyat. We have turned our backs on what is superior to everything else. Seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been reduced to bayans, has been reduced to nazams and naats in Rabiul Awal, has been confined to the masjid. We'll hear bayan upon bayan. We'll hear about the sacrifices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll hear about his Mubarak way of life. We'll hear about his beauty. Sometimes even the tears will fall, and then it is assalamu alaikum. Same day, same night, same actions, same haram, same riba, same zina, same music.
ND513258 blue Toyota Corolla, please remove your car, it is blocking.
Such disloyalty to one who had such shafqat and such kindness for his ummah. Even that mother who gave birth to us, fed us milk, breastfed us, underwent untold difficulties and hardships to nurture us, made her own sleep haram so that we could sleep, was prepared to go hungry so that we could eat, was prepared to sacrifice all her own wishes and aspirations to give fruit to our wishes and desires. Even that mother, 30, 40 years, she lived with us. Eventually she passed away. We buried her. Few years later, we have completely forgotten about her. Once in a while, we might remember that we had a mother. Once in a while, we might go to the Qabristan. And yet, 40 years of her life, she made ihsan upon us. What about that Nabi? What about that Nabi? Who every day and every night cried for us without seeing us. Go to Medina Munawwara and make an effort through the gullies of Medina, the air of Medina and the wind of Medina and the sky of Medina. Even till today, ulama say, even till today we can hear, for those who Allah has opened their hearts and their ears, 1400 years ago, how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried for his ummah. No mother cried for her child. No father cried for his child to the extent that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried for this ummah. Rabbi ummati ummati, Rabbi ummati ummati, Rabbi ummati ummati, day and night, oh Allah my ummah, oh Allah my ummah, oh Allah my ummah. Sacrifice upon sacrifice he gave. Where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala na says, لَمْ يَمْتَلِئْ جَوْفَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شِبْعًا قَطُّ وَلَمْ يَبُثَّ شِكْوَى إِلَىٰ أَحَدٍ وَكَانَ يُحِبُّ الْفَقْرَ عَلَى الْغِنَىٰ. She says that in his entire nubuwat, Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never once ate stomach full. His stomach was never once full completely. Yet he never complained of his situation to anyone. She says, my beloved Nabi would love poverty more than wealth, would love the hardships of this world more than its ease. She says, at times, for the whole night, he would be tossing and turning restlessly as a result of hunger. Yet a night spent like that would still not stop him from fasting the next day. If he wanted, he could have made dua to Allah. Allah would have opened up the wealth of the world upon him. She says, at times, At times I would cry in front of him out of compassion for him. I would rub my hands over his stomach to ease the pangs of hunger that he was experiencing. And I would say to him, "Oh my beloved Nabi, why don't you make at least this much dua to Allah, that Allah gives you sufficient food to keep your back straight." She says, when I told him this, he would say to me, "Ya Aisha, oh Aisha, mali walid dunya. What is there for me in this dunya?" One Sahabi was making dua. Allahumma sabbirni. Oh Allah, give me sabr. Only time you will need sabr if there is difficulties. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he rushed from behind and with his stick, he tapped the sahabi on his back and he says, "Sa'alta Allah al-bala?" You are asking Allah for calamities? Don't ask Allah for calamities. Say, "Allahumma atini fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qini adhab an-nar." Oh Allah, give me good in this world, good in the hereafter, and save me from the azab of Jahannam. One Sahabi, Ansari, for 3 days he never came to the masjid. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired about him. He was informed that he is not well. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit him. He found that this Sahabi was vomiting excessively. So he asked him, "What has happened?" He says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, 3 days ago I read Maghrib Salah behind you. And in that Salah you read Surah Qari'ah. Al-Qari'atu Mal-Qari'ah." He says, "When I heard about Jahannam, I came home that night, and as I lay in my bed, I made dua to Allah that, Ya Allah, punish me in this world. Punish me in this world because I cannot bear the punishment of Akhirat." And he says, from that time I am vomiting excessively. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry. He became angry. And he said, "Why did you regard the mercy of my Allah to be so confined that without punishing you, Allah won't give you his Jannat? Have hope in the mercy of my Allah." He passed his hand over the Sahabi and his sickness was gone. And then he said, "Make dua, Allahumma atini fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qini adhab an-nar." For his ummah, the compassion of that level, that he didn't even want them to make dua for difficulty in this world. And for his own family, "Allahumma ja'al rizqa Ali Muhammadin quta." He said, "Ya Allah, make my family deprive them of this world. Give them less risk." For his ummah ease. He didn't want them to ask for difficulty. For his own family, such was the level of compassion. For his own family, he made dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, deprive them of this dunya. Why? So that tomorrow, on the day of judgment, no poor person of his ummah, no deprived person of this ummah, no hungry person of this ummah, could fail to identify with his Nabi. Could fail to identify with the family of his Nabi. He put his own family in difficulty for the sake of his ummah. To the extent it is mentioned about Shibli Razi rahmatullah alayhi. He was a Turkish person, very wealthy person. He was from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Sayyid from the descendants of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once the king of Turkey requested him the usage of his orchards for 3 days. So he told the king that, "I cannot give you my orchards because you will have women dancing, you will have nakedness, you will have music, and you will use it for a party. I teach the dars of Quran and Hadith in my orchards. I cannot give it to you." The king became angry. usurped all his land, confiscated all his possessions, and threw him into jail. The day he was being thrown into jail, he was elated, totally joyful. The people became confused and they told him, what's wrong with you? You've lost everything. What are you so joyful about? He says, Al-yawma tahakkaka nasabi. Al-yawma tahakkaka nasabi. He says, today I have become convinced of my lineage that I am a Sayyid.